Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Susie Haynes, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Saturday, September 10th, 2022. City centers partial opening October 1st. Bush Center to hold events in October, full opening in November, by Ben Schaefer. The flood repairs at the Bush Convention Center are expected to be completed by October 28th, with its opening expected to be no later than November 1st, according to city officials. City officials said they hope to hold a partial opening on October 1st. There are a few things right now. The biggest thing has been the restrooms, safety and risk manager Jamie Higgins said, but they are said to be completed by the end of this month. Once the restrooms are repaired, according to Higgins, most of the areas in the downtown convention center will be available for use. Just not the basement, basically, because the elevators won't be done yet and none of the doors in the basement will be in yet, she said. Higgins said it's City Hall's hope that the basement doors will arrive and be installed by the end of September, though that is not a guarantee. On October 1st, a partial opening is expected for the convention center. Higgins wasn't able to comment on the specific activities that could take place with a partial opening, but said that anything on the first floor of the exhibit halls could happen October 1st. The Midland Chamber of Commerce reported on its community calendar that the 2022 West Texas Women's Symposium is scheduled to take place inside the Bush Convention Center on October 19th through 20th. Also on the calendar is the 2022 State of Education event on November 16th. The convention center flooded on February 14th of this year. City officials said this week that the damage was caused by a leaking water main where a cap came loose from a 6-inch water main during fire flow tests. They added that two modifications have been made to remedy any further issues. The water main was removed and capped at the curb line of the street, and the valve that allowed operation for the 6-inch line was removed. Drilling slump endures all over. Crude oil rigs fall by 5. Natural gas rigs rise by 4. By Mella McEwen. Drilling activity continued to slump, falling for a 5th consecutive week. Declines were seen in the United States, Texas, and the Permian Basin. Oilfield services firm Baker Hughes said Friday its U.S. rig count dipped by 1 rig to 759, the lowest level since late July. Still, the rig count is up 256, or 51%, compared to the 503 counted last September. The number of rigs drilling for crude oil fell by 5 to 591, the lowest level since mid-June, but 190 more than the 401 drilling for oil last year. The number of rigs drilling for natural gas rose by 4 to 166, the highest level in 3 years, August 2019, and 65 more than the 101 reported a year ago. Texas dropped 3 rigs for 359 drilling across the state, 124 more than the 235 active last year. New Mexico added 1 rig for 109. Alaska, 1, Kansas, 1, and Utah, 1, joined New Mexico as producing states seeing increases, while Louisiana, 1, and Oklahoma, 1, joined Texas in seeing declines. The Permian Basin fell by 2 rigs to 340, 86 more than 254 last year. Lee County, New Mexico, remains the most active county in the Permian Basin, with 66 rigs, up 2 for the week. Eddy County, New Mexico, follows with 40 rigs, down 1. Midland County held steady at 33 rigs a second week, while Martin County fell 2 to 32. Reeves County was down 3 rigs to 30, Howard County added a rig for 22, and Loving County fell 1 rig to 21. Upton County reported 20 rigs for a third consecutive week. Ward County had 15 rigs for a third week, and Glasscock County added a rig for 14 at work throughout the county. Inverus Foundations, part of the energy-focused software-as-a-service firm Inverus, said its U.S. rig count fell by 8 in the last week to 858 during the week ended September 7th, according to data. The count is up 2% in the last month and up 42% over the year. Most of the weekly decrease occurred in the Permian, where the total of 317 rigs was down by 7 week over week. The Gulf Coast dropped 3 at 115 rigs, and the Williston Basin fell by 2 to 41 rigs. The DJ Basin was flat at a 2022 high of 22 rigs, while Appalachia added a rig to reach 60, and the Anadarko Basin lost a rig to land at 77. Rigs running outside of major plays increased by 4 to 228. Midland Wildcat Committee honors Mewbourne Oil. Mewbourne Oil had its beginnings in Glasscock County, by Mella McEwen. Though headquartered in Tyler, Mewbourne Oil's roots are firmly planted in the Permian Basin. Founder Curtis Mewbourne, who passed away in June, drilled his company's first wells in Glasscock County in 1965, said Ken Waits, the company's president and chief executive officer. "We're still drilling there. That says all that needs to be said about the Permian Basin," he said, while in Midland for a reception the Midland Wildcat Committee held for the company. "The Permian Basin will see the majority of its resources allocated," he continued. Mewbourne currently operates 20 rigs in the Permian Basin, both in the New Mexico portion and in Loving and Reeves counties in Texas, where it focuses on the Delaware Basin, though he said the company is also active in the Midland Basin. Another 4 rigs are being operated in the Anadarko, according to Cody Owens, Vice President, Exploration. "Being privately owned, we're able to plan more for the long term," observed Waits. "We want to have healthy long-term growth." With the passing of its founder, Waits said the question arose as to what the company would continue to look like. "He was a tremendous planner," he said. "The company is in great shape. The estate is in great shape. The Mewbourne family is committed to continuing its operations. We're looking forward with great optimism. The Permian Basin will be a big part of our plans. We believe it's the best basin in the world." Mewbourne has exploration offices in Amarillo, Midland, which handles exploration and development in West Texas and Southeast New Mexico, and in Oklahoma City. Operational offices are in Parrington and Midland, which oversees West Texas, Hobbs, New Mexico, which oversees southeastern New Mexico, and Woodward, Oklahoma. "We want to be engaged in the communities where we operate," said Waits. "In Midland and in Hobbs, we offer great, stable, long-term employment and give back to the communities. Everyone talks about ESG, environment, social, and governance. That's a core part of ESG. County officials to recommend ending burn ban, by Stuart Doreen. The recent rainfall in the region not only turned Midland a rarer shade of green, but also appears to give Midland County leaders a reason to end a burn ban after about 120 days. The burn ban currently in place is expected to end this month, and extending it doesn't appear to be in the cards, according to emergency management officials. More than 4 inches of rain fell at Midland International Airport in August, impacting the drought that plagued the area. "Right now, that is the plan," said Tate Owen, public information officer for Midland County, of a recommendation to end the burn ban that was first approved in March. The U.S. Drought Monitor reported that the drought around Midland went from its worst level, exceptional, to moderate. And the Keach-Byram Drought Index, which is used in determining forest fire potential, is down dramatically from prior to the rain events in August. Midland County Fire Marshal Justin Bunch previously told the Reporter-Telegram that the county will not enact a burn ban until our KBI is at or above 575. The score Friday was 404, which was down from around 700, a top-level ranking earlier in the summer, and around 571 when the current burn ban was put into effect in June. The drought index is based on a daily water balance, where a drought factor is balanced with precipitation and soil moisture, assumed to have a maximum storage capacity of 8 inches, and is expressed in hundredths of an inch of soil moisture depletion. As of Thursday, 6.36 inches of rain had fallen at Midland International, according to the National Weather Service. Normal rainfall through September 8th in Midland is 9.76 inches. ECISD, 8th grade student charged with assaulting teacher, by Mercedes Cordero. An 8th grade student at Bowie Middle School was arrested Wednesday after assaulting a teacher, according to Ector County ISD. The student was charged with aggravated assault of a public servant, a first-degree felony charge. He will also be facing disciplinary action, according to the district. The incident, captured on video and shared on social media, shows the student arguing with the teacher about his cell phone. The district released the following statement. "This is shocking and terrible and will not be tolerated. We have been dealing with fights and violence recently and want our community to know that behavior is unacceptable and we will do all we can to prevent it." The student was arrested and charged with a first-degree felony and will also face disciplinary action through the Student Code of Conduct. "We seem to be seeing a rise in violence among children here, around the state, and across the country. We know our children are hurting and need us to help address mental health challenges, while we also must hold them accountable for their actions. Our district will continue to address these concerns with students and families." MCSO searches for burglary, credit card abuse suspects, by Mercedes Cordero. Midland Crime Stoppers is offering a $1,000 cash reward for any information that leads to the arrest of two suspects involved in a burglary and credit card abuse case. Midland County Sheriff's Office deputies responded on August 14th to a burglary in the 1300 block of East County Road 117. The victim told deputies that four young adolescent males wearing black clothing were in the area when her vehicle was broken into, according to Midland Crime Stoppers. She also stated there were several credit cards inside the purse that was stolen from inside her vehicle. The credit cards were used at Academy Sports and Outdoors in Odessa, according to the Midland Crime Stoppers. Investigators retrieved video from inside the store and found two males wearing black clothing buying several items with the victim's stolen credit card. If a person has information about the suspects, call the hotline. Go to 694tips.com or use the mobile app P3Tips. A person could earn $1,000 cash reward if the tip leads to his arrest. No caller ID is ever used and callers will remain anonymous. Community Roundup Upcoming Meetings. Commissioner's Court, 9 a.m. Monday, Commissioner's Courtroom, 500 North Lorraine Street. Midland Development Corporation, 10 a.m. Monday, Midland Chamber of Commerce, Boardroom, 303 West Wall, Suite 200. Midland City Council, 10 a.m. Tuesday, Council Chamber, City Hall, 300 North Lorraine Street. Animal Adoption Event on Saturday. The City of Midland Animal Services will host an adoption event, Top Dog or Cat, from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Saturday at Midland Animal Services, 1200 North Fairgrounds Road. Animal Services will offer a special adoption rate of $18, including vaccinations, microchip, and spay and neuter. Pink in the Park. While it's no secret that October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, not many know that Pink in the Park is put on by and for breast cancer survivors. Gifts of Hope Executive Director Clint Dixon said, "This event exists to honor the fighters, survivors, meta-thrivers, and those who fought before. The people represented by our event have strength, beauty, and colorful personalities. So we want to showcase that while making the community aware of the prevalence of breast cancer. The event will be held from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on October 15th at Midland's Centennial Park. There will be a local breast cancer survivor sharing her experience, a fashion show, raffle items, a food truck, ice cream, music, local community partners, and a survivor lap. For more information, visit giftsofhopetex.org. Norman Booker to host event about legacy freshman issues. There will be a meeting about the incidents at Legacy Freshman High School at 7 p.m. Tuesday at MLK Center, 2300 Butternut Lane. District 2 City Councilman John Norman and District 1 School Board Representative Michael Booker will be leading the community meeting. Patrick to speak at Midland County Republican Women. Texas Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick will be the guest speaker when the Midland County Republican Women meet at 11:30 a.m. Thursday at the Petroleum Club of Midland. Tickets for non-members with a reservation are $40, $45 without a reservation. Go to the Midland County Republican Women's Facebook page for more information. Casa de Amigos of Midland presents Familia Fest. Familia Fest is set for 5 to 7 p.m. on September 16th at Casa de Amigos, 1101 Garden Lane. The free event helps celebrate Mexican Independence Day and will include live music and the Hispanic Cultural Center's Folklorico dancers. Casa de Amigos offers numerous services and resources for the Midland community, and Midlanders are invited to learn more about what the organization has to offer. For more information, visit CasaDeAmigosMidland.org. Scholarships for Writers Workshop. There will be full-ride scholarships to students in West Texas high schools, colleges, and the University of Texas Permian Basin, as well as to four teachers of English or deserving youth to the annual Writers Workshop on October 8th through 9th at Midland College. The Permian Basin Bookies are conducting this conference to benefit the writing community. This includes writers of all ages. A host of presenters, workshops, and pitching your story to agents will be available. The workshop will also include numerous authors and agents willing to offer suggestions to all potential writers. Attendees can schedule one-on-one pitches to agents for $35 per session on a first-come, first-served basis. For a full list of events and participating authors and agents, see pbbookies.com/permian-basin-writers-work-shop. To join into a community of writers assisting writers, join with colleagues working toward publication at pbbookies.com/join-2. Calendar. Phyllis and Bob Cohen Performing Arts Series, 7:30 p.m. September 17th, Chaparral Center, free. Lions Pancake Breakfast, 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. September 24th, Midland Downtown Lions Club, 200 Plaza Street. UTPB Distinguished Lecture Series presents Robert M. Edsel, 7 p.m. September 27th, Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center. Writers Workshop, October 8th through 9th, Midland College. Pink in the Park, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., October 15th, Centennial Park. Midland Northside Lions Club, 19th Annual Roar with Laughter Hilarity Review Fundraiser, 7:30 p.m., October 15th, Hispanic Cultural Center. West Texas Women's Symposium, October 19th through 20th, Bush Convention Center. Entertainment calendar during the week. After changing its name from City Kid in 1985, Tesla engulfed the rock scene, creating a new style of metal blues. Now celebrating its 37th year in the scene, the quintet hits the Wagner Noel stage singing their August 5th release, Time to Rock. Other fan favorites, such as Modern Day Cowboy, Little Susie, and Love Song, can be heard as well. Tickets can be bought at www.wagnernoel.com Monday. Doors at 7 p.m., show at 8 p.m., 1310 North FM 1788. A tribute to their leader and dear friend, the Kenny Rogers Band and Don Gatlin, salute the late American singer-songwriter in an evening celebration of Rogers through the year. Using hit songs and personal narratives, the True Touring Crew bring crowds around the world their favorite tunes, memories, by continuing the Texas Natives' work live on stage. For tickets to the show, visit www.wagnernoel.com Tuesday. Doors at 6:30 p.m., show at 7:30 p.m., 1310 North FM 1788. George Thorogood and the Destroyers' Good to Be Bad Tour, 45 Years of Rock, highlights the crew's insane catalog created in 1976. Performing at events such as Live Aid and on shows like Saturday Night Live, the quintet refuses to hang up the phone and lives life to the fullest. Hits such as Who Do You Love and Get a Haircut make the bill, ensuring a night of classic and epic proportions. Reserve your tickets at www.wagnernoel.com. Wednesday, doors at 6:30 p.m., show at 7:30 p.m., 1310 North FM 1788. Casa de Amiga, Familia Fest, September 16th. Calm Aquatics, The Big Show, September 17th. The Destination, Tall City Blues Fest, September 24th. Horseshoe, Wine, Women, and Shoes, September 15th. Showbiz West Texas, September 17th. Ray Lana, September 24th through 28th. Keep Midland Beautiful, 26th Annual Trio of Gardens, Sunday. Midland Shared Spaces, Dueling Piano Event, September 22nd. Museum of the Southwest, Midland Downtown Farmers Market, 8 a.m. to noon, Saturdays. September Fest, September, Saturday, and Sunday. Rolling Sevens Ranch, Music Mania Festival, Saturday. St. Anne's Catholic Church, St. Anne's Fair, September 22nd through the 25th. Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center, Your West Texas Symphony Opening Night, Saturday. Tesla, Monday. Through the Years with the Kenny Rogers Band, Tuesday. George Thorogood and the Destroyers on Wednesday. Felipe Esparza, September 16th. Distinguished Lecture Series, Robert M. Edsel, September 27th. Kevin James, September 30th. Windwalker Farms, Freedom Service Dogs Clay Shoot, September 16th. Black Gold Registered Shoot, September 24th through the 25th. Midland College Foundation and the Phyllis and Bob Cohen Performing Arts Series present The Greatest Piano Men, free concert, Saturday, September 17th at 7:30 p.m. Al G. Langford Chaparral Center. This electrifying production will celebrate the world's greatest pianist and showman, from Little Richard, Jerry Lee Lewis, and Ray Charles, to Stevie Wonder, Elton John, and Billy Joel. Tickets are not required for general admission seating. Contact the Midland College Foundation office for information about preferred seating opportunities for distinguished donors and friends of the series. www.midland.edu/pianomen 432-685-4526 foundation@midland.edu.
Hello, this is Cindy. I'm reading the obituaries and death notices from the Midland Reporter-Telegram for Saturday. Andrew Michael Anderson, age 40, passed away at home on August 31st. He is survived by Mother Deanna Anderson McDonald, his special dad, Calvin McDonald, brother Chance, stepsister Amber. Services will be Tuesday, September 13th at 11 a.m. at First Baptist Church. The family requests memorials to Texas Baptist men, 5351 Carton, Dallas, Texas 75227, or online to tbmtx.org, or a charity of your choosing. Billy Joe Thompson joined his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on August 29th. He was born February 25th, 1930, in Lockney, Texas, to Noel Clay and Ollie Pearl Thompson. He is survived by his wife Jackie and two daughters, Sherry Carroll of Fort Worth and Kathy Clark, and husband Mitch of Round Rock. His grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and extended family and friends. He is preceded in death by his parents and six siblings. A celebration of life is planned for 11 a.m. Saturday, September 17th, at Laurel Land Funeral Home in Fort Worth. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be made in his honor to a charity of your choice. Online condolences may be made at www.dignitymemorial.com. Cecil Ray Odom was called home September 2nd at the age of 95. Cecil was born February 11, 1927, in Leesville, Texas. Cecil is survived by his wife of 21 years, Betty, his five children, Randy and wife Kathy of Odom of Lakin, Kansas, Sherry Lynn and husband Tom Blaze of Kerrville, twins Rick and Ray John Odom and Vicky Gavasnika of Midland, and Karen and Scott Miles of Montrose, Colorado. 17 grandchildren, 32 great-grandchildren, and 6 great-great-grandchildren. Cecil is also survived by a brother, Vernon of Lubbock. He was preceded in death by his wife of 51 years, Evelyn, his parents, Henry and Merlin, brother Rayford, and great-great-granddaughter Brimley. A family graveside service will be held at a later date with interment in the Kermit Cemetery. The family requests that memorials be made to the Texas Lions Camp, P.O. Box 290247, Kerrville, Texas 78029-0247, or to a favorite charity. Condolences may be emailed to pipkin@nts-online.net, or you can visit our website at www.luallengarciapipkinfh.com. Cecilia Vargas, 36, died Sunday, September 4th in Odessa. Cece was born November 22, 1985, in Chihuahua, Mexico, to Martin and Irene Macias. Cece is survived by her husband George Vargas of Midland, daughters Dania and Presley from Trinidad, Colorado, son Braden Vargas of Midland, brother Juan Macias and wife Nicole of Odessa, and their three children, sister Marlette Macias of Pueblo, Colorado, and her parents. A viewing was held Saturday, September 10th at Nellie Picklin Welch Funeral Home, and Sunday with a rosary recited. A funeral mass will be held at 10 a.m. Monday, September 12th at St. Stephen's Catholic Church. Interment will follow at Rest Haven Memorial Park. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Charles Lee Goodson, 71, of Midland, passed away on Tuesday, September 6th. A viewing will be held from 8 a.m. until 5 p.m. on Monday, September 12th at Nellie Picklin Welch Funeral Home and Crematory. Graveside services will be 11 a.m. Tuesday, September 13th at Rest Haven Memorial Park. Charlie was born on December 16, 1950, in Kansas City, Missouri, to Hubert and Josephine Goodson. Charlie is survived by his sister Drew Ann Bowler and husband Larry, sister-in-law Karen Goodson, nephew Greg Bowler and wife Tricia and their children, nieces Mandy Dempsey and husband Buck and their children, Robin Bowler and her children, and her husband Brad. Charlie is preceded in death by his parents, his brother George Goodson, and one great-nephew. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be made to Casa de Amigos, Meals on Wheels, or the charity of your choice. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Heaven's Choir of Angels received beautiful soprano Mary Frances Griffiths Sunday, August 14th. Mary Frances was born in Kansas City, Missouri, to Mary Owen McCord Zahner and Frank Zahner on January 20th, 1936. Mary Frances Griffiths was preceded in death by her mother, Mary Beatty, father Frank Zahner, stepfathers Frank Scotton and Robert Beatty. Cherishing her memory is her devoted husband, David Evan Griffiths, daughter Leslie Owen Griffiths, Roberts, and husband George Travis Roberts Jr. of Tyler, son Jeffrey Thomas Griffiths and wife Jennifer Miller Griffiths of Frisco, Texas, and grandchildren. A celebration of life service will be held Saturday, September 17th at 2 p.m. at Marvin United Methodist Church in Tyler. Memorials may be made to the charity of your choice or the Alzheimer's Alliance of Smith County, where Mary Frances attended day club and whose help has been appreciated by her family. Cards of condolence may be sent to 6807 La Costa Drive, Tyler, Texas, 75703. Richard A. Luna, 72, of Boulder, Colorado, passed away peacefully on Sunday, September 4th, surrounded by his family and dear friends at Boulder Community Foothills Hospital after battling a short illness. Richard was born and raised in Texas to Nestora and Ramiro Luna. He is survived by his father, brother Alex Luna, and wife Lisa, sister Norma Duran and husband Toribio, sister-in-law Eva Luna, all from Midland, and sister Connie Luna and John Daly from Coppell, Texas, his nephews and nieces, and great-nephews and nieces. He is predeceased by his mother Nestora Luna and brother Ramiro Luna, Jr. A visitation with family and rosary was held Sunday, September 11th at St. Anne's Catholic Church in Midland. Funeral and burial services were held at St. Anne's Catholic Church on September 12th. A celebration of life will be held at a later date in October in Boulder, Colorado. Flowers are welcome and can be sent to 1001 West Cuthbert, Midland, Texas, 79701. Other donations can be made in Richard's honor to the Humane Society of Boulder Valley. Thomas Tommy Eugene Gamage, 76, of Midland, passed away peacefully at the hospital on September 1st. He was born to Thomas, Tom, and Laura Gamage in Plainview, Texas, on August 2nd, 1946. He is survived by six daughters, Christy Scott, Candy Watt, and spouse Carson Watt, Shannon Staley and spouse David Staley, Tabitha Lou and spouse Danny Lou, Sasha Gamage and Autumn Sky Lester, one son, Cody Gamage, many grandchildren and great-grandchildren, as well as his brothers by blood and in heart, Terry Gamage, Gary Gamage, and James Bradford. He is preceded in death by his parents. A celebration honoring the life of Tommy Eugene Gamage will be held by the family at a later date. Annie Lou Frisson, age 74, of Midland, passed away peacefully September 3rd. Visitation will be Friday, September 16th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. in the Avalo Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home Chapel in Midland, with family receiving friends that evening from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Funeral services will be September 17th at 10 a.m. at Antioch Baptist Church in Midland. Interment will immediately follow at Serenity Memorial Gardens in Midland. Online condolences can be made at www.asanchezTFH.com. Dustin Mark Chandler of Odessa died on September 9th in Odessa. A funeral was held September 12th at American Heritage Funeral Home. Arrangements are entrusted to American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory in Midland.
This is Jane reading for the OA for Saturday, September 10th. 2023 Oil Show Head cites Working Man Tradition. New Permian Basin International Oil Show President Larry Richards of Odessa says the proudest thing about his office is its working man's tradition. Referring to the list of PBIOS leaders going back 82 years to 1940, Richard said it is a distinguished roster and one that's linked to the oil field's hardest work. "I'm incredibly excited," he said Wednesday. "I have been on the board for decades, and it is a real honor to be following in these big footsteps." One of the common traits of a lot of people of the show who have held this post is that it is a working man's show. They've made their marks as innovators and entrepreneurs, but they also rolled up their sleeves and went to work every day, a lot of it out in the field. They built up teams of people and companies, and through that made real impacts in our industry and communities. It's humbling because we have opportunities for innovation and entrepreneurship that are unique anywhere else in the U.S. Combined with the hard work ethic of the West Texas people, we can get some amazing things done. Richard said the Offshore Technology Conference in Houston was once the nation's top oil show, but Odessa has come to rival it with the completions, automations, algorithms, and other new things going on here. "There's so much happening," he said. "We're completing holes of mile deep, and we turn and go 2 miles horizontally, then inject several football fields full of sand that makes permeable formations where the formations had been depleted." PBIOS Executive Director Tony Fry said attendance was down at the October 2021 show with 16,000 to 18,000, but he expects at least 20,000 the next time. "The last one was down a bit, coming off COVID," he said. "But it was still a very good show. The people who attended here for a reason. They were looking for products and services and were serious about what they were doing. The companies wouldn't put their blessing on having their employees go." Fry said his search of the records had indicated that the exhibition didn't exactly have a so-called president when it began in 1940 and continued after World War II. He's explained that the show is held every other year to ensure that compelling and new technology will have developed. This is Jane reading for the Odessa American for Saturday, September 10th. Increased incidents. ECISD police administrators say schools are safe. Despite two high-profile incidents involving weapons at Odessa and Permian High Schools recently, ECISD police and administrators believe they've created a safe environment for students and teachers. According to statistics obtained by the Odessa American under the Texas Public Information Act, the vast majority of infractions recorded at Ector County Independent School Districts involve such things as dress code violations, tardiness, and truancy. During the 21-22 school year, the district documented 3 incidents in which students brought knives to school and one in which a firearm was brought. Twice knives were brought to Edward K. Downing Elementary. The other incidents took place at the high schools. On August 24th, a student was arrested at OHS for inflicting a non-life-threatening stab wound on a fellow student, and 2 days later, a Permian student was arrested for bringing a gun on campus. Additional ECISD counselors went to both schools to provide extra support for students and teachers traumatized by the events. Statistics obtained by the OA for the 18-19 and 21-22 school years indicate that after the student code of conduct violations, students most frequently get in trouble for fighting and for marijuana possession. ECIS Police Chief Officer Todd Heiner said school violence is always a concern, but he believes the schools are safe and he doesn't worry about sending his grandchildren to them. "I don't think that their whole job is inundated with violence all day," Heiner said of school staff. "I think that there are some isolated incidents that happen." To mitigate the number of fights on campus, Heiner encourages his officers to maintain a high profile on campus. "I know that parents hear the bad, but there's a lot of really good ones that go on with all the resources that ECISD supplies to a multitude of kids," Heiner said. Heiner, ECISD Executive Director of Guidance and Counseling and Wellness, Chelsea Reyes, ECISD Chief of Schools Executive Director of Leadership Keely Boyer, Bonham Principal Juan Dominguez, and High School Principal Anthony Garcia agree there are a multitude of reasons why people find themselves in trouble, but topping the list is immaturity. Studies have shown the critical parts of the brain involved in decision-making are not fully developed until age 25 or so. Kids are kids, especially in middle school. They do a lot of horseplay, and sometimes it gets a little bit rough. That's why it's important that we talk to kids about being safe, responsible, and respectful. Everything we do and everything we say to our kids is about those core values. It doesn't matter if it's ECISD or MISD or any other ISD. Kids are going to be kids, and I don't think anything has changed since we were kids, Dominguez said. Most days run smoothly, Garcia and Dominguez agreed. I think the reality is that schools on an average day run as normal, but there are things that occasionally occur, and just depending on that circumstance, that's what could disrupt the school day, Garcia said. On Wednesday, a video of a Bowie Middle School 8th grader attacking his teacher because she seized his cell phone went viral. Those who saw the video on Facebook were appalled by the boy's actions, and many questioned why no other students came to the teacher's aid. Earlier in the week, a fight broke out amongst students at Burger King on 42nd Street, and another assault happened at Taco Bell. ECISD released the following statement on Thursday. This is shocking and terrible and will not be tolerated. We have been dealing with fights and violence recently and want our community to know that behavior is unacceptable and we will do all we can to prevent it. The student was arrested and charged with a first-degree felony and will also face disciplinary action through the Student Code of Conduct. We have watched violence among children on the rise here, around the state and across the country. We know our children are hurting and need us to address mental health challenges, while we also hold them accountable for their actions. Our district will continue to address these concerns with students and families, the statement said. According to ECISD statistics, 1,800 incidents requiring disciplinary measures took place at Bowie in the 18-19 school year, but dropped to 396 last year. Statistics show there were 125 fights at the school last year and 210 student code violations. ECISD records show that in the 18-19 school year, 30 district employees or volunteers were the victims of assault. Two dozen were assaulted in the 21-22 school year. Officials agree the advent of social media means we're hearing a lot more about kids' transactions, whether it involves a TikTok challenge or a fight on Facebook. In addition, those postings often lead to an emotional response, Boyer said. We live in a world with social media, so things get posted intentionally to get a response out of others just in terms of our teenage adolescent group. So I think it's just adolescence and learning how to self-manage, how to respond to conflict, how to be proactive, Boyer said. Unfortunately, because of social media, misinformation is being spread and misperceptions are being created. So many times I've had people come in and say, well, we've heard this and we've heard that, and then we talk about the incident. They say, it's not like I thought it was going to be, Dominguez said. Honestly, more times than not, whenever we have an incident, whether it be bullying or something has happened to a student on campus, when we talk to the parent and we talk to the kid, hey, have you told anybody? That answer's no. The answer is no, I haven't talked to anybody about the situation, Garcia said. One parent was so frustrated by what she saw as ECISD in action, she began a Facebook group, West Texas Parents Against Bullying, in March. More than 250 people have since liked that page. Amanda Province, who has three children, including a 12-year-old son and 16-year-old daughter, recently took over the page. She's also begun holding gatherings the second Wednesday of the month at Connection Christian Church. I think bullying is a pretty in-your-face problem. I couldn't give you statistics per school or anything, but I really believe that most kids are going to experience bullying in some shape, form, or fashion at some point in their school life. I know there are some people who will say ECISD is all talk and no action. I understand that sentiment, that frustration, but at the same time, if we don't keep fighting, we're not going to see that change, Province said. We want teachers held accountable, of course, but that is not our primary goal. It is to prevent bullying from happening in the first place. Boyer said there is no question ECISD takes student safety seriously. I would say that our school leaders prioritize student safety. It is their number one priority that every student in their school is safe, Boyer said. Also, we want students to feel comfortable reporting an incident or a situation that makes them feel unsafe or they believe is unsafe for other students. And so we have a lot of posters in the schools. See something, say something. In addition, Boyer said the Crime Stoppers tip line is posted on the district's website. In terms of school leaders and school staff, if they don't know about it, they can't do anything about it. A lot of the times, they are depending on students to come and tell them when something unsafe is happening. When they are told it, that, they take it seriously, and they investigate, and they address immediately. Good communication among students, parents, teachers, and principal is key, Garcia and Dominguez said. If parents are aware of issues between their student and others, for example, if an accident has taken place off campus and they fear things may escalate, they should give someone at the school a call, Garcia said. Dominguez also noticed that negative news spreads faster than good news. I always tell parents, if you like what we're doing, tell everybody, and if you don't like what we're doing, please let me know so I can fix it, he said. Dominguez, a 26-year veteran educator, took over Bonham last spring. He's issued a standing invitation to parents who are concerned about student safety to visit the school. He's also started a program called Watchdogs that allows parents to help out during classes, morning drop-off, and afternoon pickup. Parents are always encouraged to reach out if they have questions. I want all our parents to know that every student matters, Dominguez said. We use every single minute as possible to teach our kids not only about instruction, but to be safe, responsible, and respectful. In addition to immaturity, teachers often see students who are dealing with self-esteem and mental health issues, problems at home, and substance abuse issues. Students struggling with such things often end up frustrated and acting out. The district works to address those issues through social-emotional learning lessons provided by teachers, school counselors, and outside agencies, Reyes said. The counselors also work hard to refer families to outside agencies when students need more intensive help. Students continually receive age-appropriate lessons about such things as making friends, dating violence, bullying, personal safety, self-confidence, and suicide prevention. Some bullies don't actually realize they are bullying. They think they're joking, and oftentimes they are joking with more than one child, Reyes said. Counselors work with them to develop better communication skills. Ultimately, I think the reason they bully sometimes is because they're having self-esteem issues or their communication skills need to be worked on, Reyes said. So some of the things that we work on are self-esteem, communication, and the proper way to communicate with others. We also work on how to ask someone to leave you alone and things like that. Chief Heiner said he and his 27 officers work closely with each high school to make sure they are well aware of ongoing trends and individual students who may be struggling. We have a good working relationship with all of them. Each campus is almost kind of like its own little city of resources with the teachers and the parents. With any of the social issues that are occurring outside of the campus that are coming onto campus, parents will come in and talk about their social issues, and counselors are very busy with helping students with those social issues. While safety is their number one priority, and ECISD work officers enforce the law, Heiner said his officers also work hard to develop relationships with students. That helps out in a multitude of ways because the kids at that age, they're just looking to find someone to look up to. And so if we build relationships that are built on trust and they see that person day in and day out, there to protect them, they get to feel a comfort level. They'll not only get help for themselves, but they'll also report incidents. Most of them want their campus to be safe. What happens when a student gets into trouble on an ECISD campus depends upon the infraction. Since most students get into trouble for violating the student code of conduct, they are only disciplined by school administrators. Those who are accused of committing crimes face disciplinary action and consequences within the criminal justice system. Unless the offense involves weapons or drugs, most kids aren't physically arrested, Heiner said. They are identified, released to their parents, and their cases referred to the court system. Teaching the students about accountability and responsibility is the goal in both realms. I want these kids to know, this is your school, you need to take ownership of the school, and it has really changed the culture on this campus, Dominguez said. Dominguez uses his own experiences to teach the students. What's been effective for me is about sharing my story. I come from the same type of background the majority of these kids do, and when I start telling them my story, they start to realize, wow, I didn't realize you came from all that. It makes a huge difference because as I tell them, look, if I come from where you come from, why can't you? I want to make sure I remove all barriers to make sure you're successful, Dominguez said. I never want students to ever think, nobody ever gave me a chance. If anybody's going to give you a chance, it's going to be me. With the punishment for some infractions are non-negotiable, under the Texas Education Code, Dominguez and Garcia stress that when they have some latitude, they strive to base their decisions on the totality of the situation. They can expel students to a disciplinary alternative education program, impose an in-school or out-of-school suspension, or place students in a disciplinary alternative education program. The length of time each student spends being disciplined is also contingent upon the various factors. This is Jane reading for the OA for Saturday, September 10th. From the obituary and death notice section. In Lubbock, Billy Linda Hairston Engel passed away on August 4th at the age of 80. Linda grew up in Colorado City, Texas, on the family farm. Billy was teaching school in Andrews when she met and married the love of her life, Sam Engel of Cleveland, Oklahoma. They were married at the family farm in Colorado City in 1968, and shortly thereafter moved to Artesia, then El Dorado, and finally landed in Midland and called it home. Together they had 28 years of wedded bliss, two sons, John and Rob, many close friends and family, and beloved trips to visit the Hairston family farm in Colorado City and Engel family in Oklahoma. A memorial reception will be held on September 10th at the Snyder Coliseum, West Side, from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. In lieu of flowers, the family wishes you to remember Linda as you spend time with your loved ones and consider donations to the Susan G. Komen Breast Cancer Foundation. In Odessa, Eleutherio Adam Jr., 46, died on Wednesday, September 7th. Celebration of Life will be held at 5 to 9 p.m. on Saturday, September 10th at Acres West Funeral Chapel. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Dustin Mark Chandler, 33, died on Wednesday, September 7th in Odessa. Services are pending with American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory of Midland. Johnny Lehman, also known as Papa Glasscock, 79, of Odessa, died Saturday, September 3rd in Midland. Memorial services were scheduled for Friday, 2 p.m., Saturday, September 9th, at Acres West Funeral Home. Chapel Mike Bartlett officiated. Cesario Fuentes Enriquez, 91, died on September 3rd in Odessa. Services are pending with Acres West Funeral.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.